Active Reading Strategies, Book 2. Unit 1. Make Them Laugh, A History of Canned Laughter. Get It Started. 1. Two. 3. 4. 5. 6. Before reading. 1. Jazz up. 2. Sitcom. 3. Staple. 4. Dispense with. 5. Cruel. 6. Invention. 7. In Stitches. Ah, laughter. If you could bottle it up and sell it, you'd make a million. Well, in a sense, that's already been done. But it's not bottled, it's canned. Canned laughter, also known as a laugh track, was a staple of television sitcoms for many years. And chances are you may have laughed right along with it whenever you watched a comedy program. So just what is canned laughter? Well, to understand, we first need to take a look into the past. For thousands of years before movies and TV came along, people were already enjoying stage plays and other forms of public entertainment. It should come as no surprise, then, that the art of comedy goes back at least to the ancient Greeks. The world was so harsh and cruel that laughing with friends and fellow theatergoers at the jokes of a funny play brought everyone closer together with welcome relief. Even today, comedy clubs can be found in most major cities around the world, and the comedians who work in them regularly leave their audiences in stitches. But supposing you were the lone patron in a comedy club, an audience of one, would you laugh out loud at the jokes? Would they seem as hilarious if there was no one else to laugh with you? According to a study conducted at University College London, the answer is no. Researchers there found that adding laughter to a joke increases the humor value, no matter how funny or unfunny the joke is. The idea that laughter encourages others to laugh along is nothing new. In fact, it dates all the way back to Shakespeare. During performances of his plays, he had people planted in the theater to laugh out loud at the jokes. The goal was to make them seem more humorous and draw the audience in. The trick of using laughter to inspire laughter was also used when radio first became popular in the early years of the 20th century. Radio programs such as The Abbott and Costello Show were performed in front of a studio audience and broadcast live. This broadcast included the audience's laughter to give listeners the illusion of being there. Then, in 1948, singer and actor Bing Crosby developed a method to pre-record his radio shows. Crosby suggested to the sound editors that they add in recorded laughter to jazz up his jokes and cover small gaps and mistakes, and thus canned laughter was born. The laugh track gained immediate popularity among radio and TV producers. And it reached a peak in the 1950s and 60s after the invention of the laugh box. The creation of TV sound engineer Charles Douglas This typewriter-like machine could be used to choose between 320 different laughs, tittering and snickering, chuckles and giggles, cackles and belly laughs, and more. Douglas's Laugh Box was such a hit with television producers that they often dispensed with the studio audience altogether and used Douglas's canned laughter instead. All they had to do was mix a track of laughter from the Laugh Box, add it into the program at the appropriate moments, and voila! The viewer had a ready-made audience to laugh along with. Like a magic trick, canned laughter made the jokes seem much funnier. In the 1970s, live audiences began to make a comeback. However, later popular sitcoms like Friends and The Big Bang Theory still use laugh tracks to sweeten the studio audience response. And why not? After all, in the words of Ebenezer Scrooge, "There is nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor." Test your skill. Unhealthy health foods and drinks. You've decided to shed a few kilograms and therefore tried to alter your diet. Even with the changes, you're not losing weight. Curiously, doctors suggest some diet foods are problematic for people trying to eat more healthily. Salad. It's not the lettuce, carrots, or celery that are the problem. The problem is the calorie-rich dressings. Extras such as nuts and cheese also increase the calories. Frozen yogurt. This yummy treat might seem like a good alternative to ice cream, but don't fool yourself. You will gain weight due to the huge amount of sugar in frozen yogurt. Fat-free food. The trouble with this kind of food is that, like frozen yogurt, it often contains a lot of sugar. Plus, without the fat in it to make you feel full, you tend to eat more. Juice. It's hard to believe, isn't it? After all, fruit and vegetables are always recommended by nutritionists. However, juice from stores is often loaded with sugar. Diet soda. Obviously, diet soda doesn't have the sugar that regular soda contains. However, some scientists have linked drinking diet soda to obesity. Sports drinks. Don't think sports drinks are good for you just because your favorite athlete gulps them down. If you're not exercising a lot, avoid these drinks. Not all foods or drinks that are advertised as healthy or low fat are actually good for you. Read the nutrition labels to learn the real story. By making informed, healthy choices about food and exercise, getting in shape will be a piece of sugar-free cake.